Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Ukraine has marked 1,000 days since Russia's full-scale invasion today, with weary troops battling on numerous fronts, Kyiv besieged by drone and missile strikes, and officials preparing for Donald Trump to reclaim the White House in January. This afternoon, Russia said that Ukraine's use of long-range missiles against its territory marked a new phase of the Western war against it and vowed to react accordingly. Meanwhile, aid agencies continue to provide medical support in the region. And before we came on air, I spoke with Christopher Stokes, who's Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, emergency coordinator in Ukraine. And just to note that there is some content in this interview that some people might find upsetting. I began by asking Christopher about MSF's response to the recent strike in Sumy in northeastern Ukraine.
Well, yeah, Sumy is a city that's not far from the Russian border. It's been hit, civilian infrastructure has been hit repeatedly. And this weekend we had one of the worst when a missile, it seems, landed practically on an apartment building. And the emergency services in Sumy said they were completely overloaded. So we had a couple of ambulances there on standby for this kind of event, and they asked us to help them because they were, yeah, as I said, overloaded and over 80 wounded.
What did your teams and your colleagues, what did they see there then when they arrived?
Well, what we see in these kind of attacks, you're basically in a peaceful civilian neighborhood. Families live there or try and live there because they have electricity cuts, etc. And it's just complete chaos when you arrive and a very high level of stress. So the important thing is to try and get those who can survive, because some people, when you arrive, you realize they're just not going to make it. So you focus on those you can save to bring them back, to stabilize them or bring them back to the hospital. Other rescuers try and get people out of the rubble. They found another body today, actually, a kid. So I think it's the 13th. And you're operating under extreme stress because there has been a tendency in Ukraine for Russian forces to do what's called a double tap, where they send a follow-up missile half an hour later.
That's devastating then. Does it have devastating consequences, that missile another half hour later, which presumably teams like yourselves and relatives and so on are dealing with the aftermath?
Yeah, it's actually double tap as a technique used, and it was used as well in Syria by the Syrian government and Russian forces to target emergency rescue workers. So what happens is you're on site and then there's a second attack that takes place. So actually Sumy, and because these double taps, as they're called, have occurred quite frequently in the last year and a half. In the case of Sumy, we actually waited before sending our ambulances, because we knew the risk was quite high. So the first responder were the Ukrainians, and we came just a little bit afterwards. We waited something like 45 to 50 minutes, which is really awful to have to do, but yeah, you don't want to lose your ambulance teams as well.
Yeah, and that's when somebody suffers a trauma and that type of an injury that could be fatal. That's a critical one-hour period, isn't it, within which you need to get help?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and we're facing these kind of, for ourselves, but also for the Ukrainian ambulance services, this is a constant pressure and a constant concern that they have. I mean, to go in there in the first half hour, and if you're deep in, like in Kiev, a double tap is less likely. But if you're 20, 30 kilometers from the front line, it can happen. It happened in Bukovsk. It's happened in other places as well. And so it slows down the response, and it's absolutely terrible, actually. And because when it does occur, you lose vital emergency ambulance workers as well.
Slows down the response, and this double tap, as you call it, is happened in a densely populated area, as you say, in Sumy, in northeastern Ukraine. Did I hear you correctly, Christopher, that the latest body that was pulled from the rubble was that of a child, the 11th fatality in this strike? Is that correct?
Yeah, I need to check the last figures. The last person was brought out today. Well, someone was brought out today, because often what you'll see is You'll see a number of casualties reported in the first day or two, and but it takes time to go through the rubble. These are big apartment buildings, and yeah, there was another body pulled out today. That's
Okay.
right.
Sorry, 11 is the latest figure that I heard. I think you might have said 13, if I'm not mistaken. But there were two children among
Yeah.
those reported that I saw in the death toll, a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old.
So I will correct you on this, actually, and I'll correct myself. It's neither 11 nor 13, it's actually 12.
Okay.
So the last body was pulled out over the night, and we don't know if there'll be more, but the total stands at 12. Then, of course, you have people who were brought back in quite bad condition in hospital. It's not clear that all of them will make it, obviously. So the death toll could increase. Yeah.
It's grotesque, isn't it? This type of this level of fatality, and how, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the scores of people who were severely wounded either.
Yeah.
How are they being treated? Is there a healthcare facility nearby, or can MSF do that remotely?
Usually do. So in the first instance, when there's a mass casualty event, we'll go there. And then in the coming days, when people are stabilized, we'll start bringing people together with the Ukrainian ambulance service. We'll bring people deeper in the country to other hospitals further west. Because the eastern this attack that happened in Sumy, actually there was another one similar that occurred in Odessa, well, similar level of casualties. So they happen from time to time, but the smaller attacks happen nearly every day on civilian areas. So the hospitals just fill up, especially in the east and in the south around Odessa, Mykolaiv, Kherson, etc. So we try and bring people to other hospitals deeper in the west of the country, closer to Poland, where there are fewer attacks, and the hospitals have a little bit more capacity, because really they're, I think it's the 1,000th day of the war today, and yeah, the hospitals, particularly in the east, have reached breaking point.
I'm sure they have, yeah, on this 1,000th day of since the Russian invasion, as you say. How does MSF, how do your colleagues on the ground keep going in conditions like this? And now it seems like there is going to be a further escalation in this war.
When it comes to escalation, I don't know, we'll see, because it's hard to imagine what could happen next. We've had large dams being blown up, civilian infrastructure, the electric infrastructure attacked regularly, children having to go to school in Kharkiv or Sumy underground. So I don't know, it's hard to imagine how things could get worse. Most of the work done by MSF is actually, we have a mixture of international and Ukrainian, but the core of our work is done by the Ukrainians themselves. They're very determined. They're very determined to help their population. Very hardworking, and it's really, we're working with exceptional people, but they are getting exhausted, and the stress, the constant stress, because when you stop working, then you still get the air raid alerts. Occurring overnight. In Kiev, it's been particularly bad over the last weeks, but it's practically the case in all major Ukrainian cities. So you're never, the war is never far away.
Okay, look, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I really appreciate your time. Christopher Stokes, MSF coordinator in Ukraine.